We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events, the list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the final DFS OGs podcast for the season. Always a sad moment here. Love doing the show with these guys. Love talking football with you guys out there, obviously. But we're getting into the meat of things here. The divisional round, always fun. We bring in all the bye teams. So really looking forward to this weekend of football. So we got you covered here on the OGs. We'll break it down from a DFS perspective. We'll break it down from a betting perspective and get some thoughts there. Also going to talk some of these coaching changes. But let me bring in my fellow OGs here, my boys, for our final appearance of the 2018/19, I guess now, season. Derek Farnsworth, a.k.a. Notorious. David Kaplan, a.k.a. Head Chopper. Boys, welcome in. Are we ready for some divisional playoffs? Derek, how we doing, buddy?
Yeah, doing really well. I always love watching some playoff football. The first three games weren't all that fun to watch, but yeah, that Bears game was pretty fun. Hit two crossbars of all things, and pretty decent week of DFS. Nothing like your week, Beer. So big congrats to you. For those of you that don't know, we tied for first in the showdown slate, right?
Yeah, that Golden Tate touchdown apparently helped me out. Like I was telling you guys pre-show, I wasn't even really paying attention to it. I don't really sweat my scores and all that. Was watching the game and in shock like everybody else that how the hell do you hit an upright again? But not only hit the upright, like you said, hit the crossbar too. Just the look on Matt Nagy's face, it really summed it up. I mean, I pretty much had the same look. But, yeah, it's a good weekend for myself. Hopefully we keep it rolling here. I'm going to be going out to New Jersey. Got a seat into the DK Sports Betting National Championship. So excited for that. Shop, how we doing, brother? Welcome in.
Yeah, doing pretty good. Anxious to get the four games, this four-game slate going. This is going to be a fun week, but, you know, this is it, man. You know, after this, it's just showdowns and two gamers, and, you know, it's the last, like, real decent kind of a slate you got going on. So it's sad from that perspective, but it's good to move on. You had a big week last week, and you did it the right way. You didn't even look at the – you know, you can't sweat showdowns, man, because every single pass can move you, like, 1,000 places up or down. So you did it the right way. You didn't even check on it. That's definitely the best way to do the showdown sweat.
Yeah, I've sweated those before, and you seriously go from, oh, I'm up 30,000. Wait, I'm winning zero. In every play, things are moving up and down. And I went afterward and looked at a lineup, and I had Cody Parkey in there. So imagine if he would have cost me on that missed field goal. That would have been one of those heartbreakers. Derek knows the feeling, unfortunately. But, yeah, those are tough to sweat. I mean, I just stopped sweating in general the games. It's too stressful on the old man's heart. But we're here to talk these games, and last week it was a lot of low totals, and we struggled through it, and, you know, not a lot of plays to get excited about. We turned a page here. We got a lot of good games here. on this slate. So let's jump into it. First game for us, guys, Indianapolis and Kansas City. Really excited about this one. You know, the Colts looked outstanding in Houston. I just think they're a very well-rounded team. Coaching, offense, defense, offensive line. I think a lot of these things can travel. So, Derek, your thoughts here. DFS-wise, Colts and Chiefs, who are we looking at here? Who are some must-plays here? You know, this is, you know, a lot of great games on this slate, but this one really stands out to me. A lot of great options here.
All right, I'll start with KC's side because it's a little easier to break down. The Colts have held their last eight opponents to 14 points per game, but they haven't really faced any good offenses during that stretch. So I'm not putting a ton of stock into their defense. I know they've been good, but I think this is an spot where Kansas City's offense can roll. They were number one in offensive DVOA during the regular season. And the goal of the Colts defense is to kind of keep everything in front of them, limit the big play potential. So I think this game sets up a lot better for Travis Kelce than it does for Tyreek Hill. We know Tyreek Hill is obviously the big play guy in this offense. Indy 29th in DVOA against tight ends. I think I'm going to make an emphasis to pay up for Kelce as much as I can this week. I think Mahomes is firmly in play. Don't mind the price point. Only $7,000 on DraftKings. The pricing at quarterback isn't that wide, so I do think you can pay up for Mahomes this week. And then for the running backs, just got to see if Ware's going to play. I do think Damian Williams is going to be the lead back either way, but obviously we're going to feel better about him if Spencer Ware ends up being out. I think Williams is fine. I mean, his price is reasonable across the industry. He's been a very big part of the passing game, and he's looked good on the ground as well. So he's one of my favorite running back plays. And then for the receivers, you know, Sammy Watkins is going to be back, so I'm not really sure what to expect out of him, Robinson, and Conley. That's probably a situation that I will be avoiding. Other than if you're playing the single showdown slate, then you can maybe take a flyer on some of them. As far as Indy goes, KC's held their opponents to 18 points per game at home this season. And if you kind of have to build the story of how this game's going to play out, I think the best route for Indianapolis to take if they think they're going to win this game is to lean on the run. KC was 32nd against the run this season. And so if they can get Marlon Mack going, if they can keep Mahomes off the field, I do think that's going to be their best route to win this game. But obviously they're going to have to keep up with the Chiefs if they score a lot of points. So I like using Mack in tournaments. I also like using Nyheim Hines in tournaments because he's going to be the guy that they're going to go to if they do fall behind in this one. Nyheim Hines put up that bagel last week. I think a lot of people will be avoiding him. He's only 3,300 this week on DraftKings. I think it's a good bounce back spot for him. Again, if you do think the Colts are going to be playing from behind, and then we know about Hilton outdoors, the splits aren't great. I think I would probably rather play Inman or Rodgers as, you know, cheap flyers instead. And then Eric Ebron's firmly in play. Chiefs are 25th in DVOA against tight ends. Eric Berry did come back towards the end of the season, but he wasn't all that effective, and he did miss the last week of the season. So, yeah, that's kind of how I see this game breaking down.
Yeah, I mean, great analysis there from our boy, bringing the heat. But I agree on the Kelce call. You know, the Colts defense really wants to limit the big plays. You know, not saying Tyree can't get behind the defense, but they want to keep everything in front of them. That may limit some of those opportunities for him. But a great stat from friend of the show, Evan Silva, talked about the Chiefs or the Colts and how they run a lot of zone coverage and how good Patrick Mahomes was in those scenarios. Said played five games against teams that run at this defense at top eight frequencies, 64% completion percent, 14 touchdowns, zero interceptions in those games. So, you know, clearly, yes, the Colts D is playing well, but I like the Mahomes to Kelce. I think that's intriguing. And I love the calls on the other side. You know, some of the guys that burned people last week, specifically Nyheim Hines, you know, a lot of people were on him even in cash games. You know, really let people down. You got to think in this one, Kansas City's going to score points. The Colts are going to have to keep up. So, he's intriguing. And then a guy like Chester Rogers, I really like at 3,700. I think Inman going to get a lot of ownership and a lot of play just based on what he did last week. But I think Chester Rogers, a guy that's getting targets in this offense and going to provide you some value at that number. So let's go to our betting expert here. The Chop Man's been digging in on the lines, the totals. So we're going to let him cover the betting aspect of this game. So Chop, I am seeing a spread of 5, 5.5, depending on where you're looking. In a total anywhere from 56 to 57. The public seems to be very heavy on the Colts in this one with the points and obviously on the total here. Where do you check in here? Spread, total, or both? What are we thinking?
Yeah, that would – it kind of surprised me when we found out the Colts, you know, when they had won and we knew where they were going to play next week. there was a lot of people talking about the Colts, and I was a little bit shocked that people were so quick to dismiss Kansas City and what they've done this year. And it's playing out with the point spread. Like, I'm looking, and it looks like as of right now, and you'll get the bigger stuff later on in the week, but as of right now, the majority of the bets are going towards Indianapolis, although the line opened up at 4, and it's moved about 1 to 1.5 towards Kansas City a little bit. So means more money's coming in on KC right now. I mean, I just can't go against Andy Reid coming off of a bye week. He's like something like 17 out of the last 20 games he's come off a bye has been a win for him. He's had like 4 bye weeks in the playoffs in his career. 3 of them have been wins, and the only loss was, I think it was a couple years ago with Alex Smith when they barely lost to the Steelers, a really good Pittsburgh team. So him, Andy Reid coming off a bye, this offense, the season they put up, being at home, I got to favor Kansas City here big time, man. Everybody's on Indianapolis. They're like the flavor of the week, man. I don't see it happening. So now the total, that's a whole difference. That's a big, big number right there. And I could definitely see, KC jumping out here and then grinding out the second half, and it never even comes close to that 57 total. But for sure, I'm definitely liking KC here.
Yeah, it's a good point. My initial read was I thought the Colts could go in and win this game, you know, early on last week. You know, maybe I'm with the fish out there like you talked about, Chop. You know, I like the way they played. But the more you think about it, like you said, we're discounting the Chiefs. And, yeah, the end of the season wasn't the best, and the Colts are coming in red hot. But it's still an indoor team going outdoors, a very difficult place to play. That place is going to be fired up. And with all this bets and money coming in on the Colts, why is the spread going the other way? You know, why are the Chiefs continuing to climb there in the spread? So, you know, one of those movements that makes you nervous if you like the Colts plus to be on the other side of things from the public always makes sense. So I'm still up in the air on this one. I like your points on the Chiefs, and we'll see where I land. I'm not quite sure yet. But let's move on to our next game on Saturday. We got Chop, your Dallas Cowboys, and we'll get to you here shortly on that one. But, Derek, let's go to you. Cowboys going out to L.A. to take on the Rams here. And Cowboys survived. You know, they played well. They did enough to get that done. You know, I think Seattle probably should have won that game. They didn't. Dallas moves on. Now you got a tough test going out to L.A. L.A. side of things did not finish the season well. We know Todd Gurley was banged up. They got it done. They put some points on the board. But I wouldn't say they look great, you know, with momentum going into the playoffs. So can Dallas possibly go and pull this off? And if so, who are we looking at from Dallas, Derek?
Yeah, we'll start on that side. They have struggled on the road so far this season. I believe they were 7-1 at home and 3-5 on the road, so that's a little bit concerning. And specifically, Dak has struggled on the road. We know that he's much better against man coverage. The Rams, pretty middle of the road when it comes to man and zone coverage. So I'm not too worried about that, but his road splits do worry me a little bit about Amari Cooper. Given the fact that they are underdogs, this could – set up well from a game script perspective, so I still think Cooper has that upside, but I am worried a little bit about his floor. And then the other receiving options, I'm just not really wanting to play Beasley, Jarwin, or Gallup. So for me, it's just going to be Zeke, and that's about it on the Dallas side. The Rams were 28th in DVOA against the run. We know Zeke incredibly involved in the passing game towards the second half of the season. He had 32 targets over the last 4 games alone, and we know that the Cowboys are going to want to keep the Rams offense off the field. So for me, Zeke's going to be the guy to pay up for. He's my favorite running back of the slate. I do prefer him over Todd Gurley. And then we'll move over to the Rams side. Jared Goff really struggled towards the end of the year, but 28 fantasy points per game at home, only 16 fantasy points per game on the road. So he is playing at home, which is a boost. We know Dallas is 5th against the run and 26th against pass-catching running backs. So I do expect Todd Gurley to be heavily involved in the passing game, which does help Goff quite a bit. If I'm deciding between the two, I'll probably take Goff over Gurley because, again, I do like Zeke so much. As far as the running backs go, Dallas is pretty tough on wide receivers. I think I would prefer Woods in the slot rather than Cooks or Reynolds on the outside. Towards the end of the year, the Rams played a lot more 2 tight end sets, which gave a big boost to Gerald Everett, both in playing time and in snap or targets. He had at least 6 targets and at least 4 catches in 3 of his last 4 games. He's really cheap across the industry, and this is a slate where we kind of want to pay up for all those studs. So if you're looking to punt a position and you don't want to pay up for Kelce or, you know, some of the other tight ends, I do think Everett's interesting. And as far as Woods go, I think he's the safest player of the receivers. And it's worth noting that he did get at least two rushes in six games this season. So that's kind of a slightly added boost to his floor.
Yeah, and throw that last game out with him. I mean, they didn't really need him to do much in that one, got out to a big lead. So you may look at that one and say, he didn't end the season well. They didn't need him to do much there. So the thing I noticed, Derek, the pricing on DraftKings seems really light. You know, normally they kind of tighten things up, but you look at the running back position, the highest priced running back is Zeke at 8,200, Todd Gurley at 8,000. I mean, the quarterbacks, they moved up a little bit, but Mahomes, the top price at 7,000. The wide receivers, we don't have anybody at 8,000 or higher. So it seems pretty easy to build the lineup here. So any suggestions while we're here, just looking at DraftKings, we know leave some salary on the table, but how do we handle this build? Because it's going to be pretty easy for people to jam in 3-4 studs on the slate.
Yeah, it definitely is. And usually I don't like the softer pricing, but in a slate that features so many studs, I kind of like that they brought it down a little bit, because some of your lineups would be ugly if these guys were priced up at their regular price points. So I haven't started any lineup builds just yet, but I think you kind of just pick your favorite studs from each game. Last week we kind of mentioned to pick the game stacks because we had so many low totals. We were kind of hoping just one of them would go off and then the game stack would be what you wanted to have. But this week I think all these games have some potential. So I'm not really looking to game stack as much as I was a week ago.
All right, let's go to Vegas Chop here and get his thoughts on the line. The total of Chop of 49 to 50, depending on the book you're at, is the total. Line seems to have settled in at about 7, opened at 6.5, shot up into the 8s, came back down to the 7s. So clearly some people betting on Dallas. Leave your homerism out of this now, Chop. I know you're a Cowboy fan, so I don't want to hear you putting your house on the line here with the boys. Total spread, what's standing out to you on the lines?
I'm definitely looking at it from a neutral perspective. I'm not being a homer here, but you know, my initial thought when I learned that the Cowboys were going to go to LA was, the Rams would probably be the team I would want to bet on. Just being at home with the bye week, I could definitely see them scheming up some things to really give Dallas's defense problems. And then the more I think about it, the more it wears on. I really think it's a coin flip on that spread right there. Dallas has this equalizer, you know, in their offense, and that's Dak Prescott's running ability. We saw it last week. Like, for a guy – and, like, going back to college, he was always a big runner. Or he always had that ability, but he's never shown it in the pros except for just sporadically. But the guy's, like, 6'2", 235. He's the size of a linebacker. I always wonder why doesn't he run more? And I'm a Cowboys fan watching him every week. Why don't you run more? I think he saves it for the playoffs in big moments like last week. Wasn't that many carries? But, man, when they needed a third down or they needed, that big third down at the end of the game where he did the cartwheel into the end zone almost, like the big plays where you need a third down conversion, I think he's willing to open it up here in the playoffs. So I think that is something to keep in mind. As you're looking at the spread, that's a pretty big number. This thing could be 10, 11 points in favor of the Rams late in the game, and just one spread buster there at the end could get you back into the money if you bet on the Cowboys. So I'm kind of like I'm a little bit on the fence about that number. I actually think I like the over in this game more than an actual side, because I think the Rams will have some answers for the Dallas defense. And I know on the other side, I mentioned Prescott's running and Ezekiel's pass catching. Those are all things that are going to get points on the board for Dallas also. So I like the over in this game, and I'm a little bit on the fence on the spread here.
Yeah, and the public seems to be in the same boat. You know, no real sides has taken advantage here. 56% of the bets are on Dallas right now, but just 46% of the money on the spread. And the total right now, bets from what I'm seeing, 50-50. So the numbers creeped up a little bit, but I don't think the big bets have come in on this one yet. So I would keep an eye on this one. That's usually the indicator when things start moving closer to game time. That's when you get your best indicator. So, you know, great information there. I'm leaning the Rams with the 7, but I could definitely see Dallas keeping it close. So the number seems about right. I don't think there's a gimme one way or the other. So interested to see where that one moves. All right, let's go to Sunday and we'll start. Somehow the damn Chargers got to play an early game again. I don't know why the NFL continues to do this to the Chargers, but didn't stop them there in Baltimore. You know, the game plan, Derek, was unbelievable. You know, put a bunch of cornerbacks out there, slow down the run. We kind of talked about Lamar Jackson being their focus. They did it, and they won the game. Well, now you got a much bigger test here, going to New England and slowing down this offense. So what happens in this one? You know, we got a pretty close spread here, decent total at about 47. The Chargers on a roll, but we know New England, pretty sure they were undefeated at home this season. So which one gives? The Chargers being so good on the road or New England being so good at home?
Yeah, that's a good question. It was really impressive to see the Chargers win last week, and I believe that was the only game that all three of us agreed on in terms of the spread last week. So that was good, at least. As far as their offense, I mean, it didn't look that great last week against the Ravens. Their defense just created so many short fields that they were able to get some points, and they finally had a kicker make some field goals, which was very rare for the Chargers in the postseason. So I don't really know if I want to play Phillip Rivers here. Didn't look great over the last, you know, three or four games of the season. And again, he just didn't look great last week either. I know, you know, he typically has his big games in the postseason, but not really a defense that I want to pick on. As far as their running backs go, Melvin Gordon had the knee injury on the one knee and then hurt his opposite knee against the Ravens. He's sitting out Wednesday's practice due to sore knees, and he only played 44% of the snaps. Austin Eckler actually outsnapped him, had 53%. I kind of expect that to flip the other way, but given the $1,700 price difference on DraftKings and given the big ownership discount as well, I don't mind using Eckler over Gordon in tournaments. And I don't really want to pay up for Gordon, given all the other good running backs in the slate. As far as the receivers go, I kind of expect Gilmore to be on Mike Williams. That would kind of leave Allen with the better cornerback matchup in the slot. He hasn't topped 65 yards in three games, but I do think this is a game where they're going to pepper him with targets. So he is by far my favorite play from the Chargers. And then if they activate – or sorry, if Henry ends up being active, I'll probably end up avoiding all three of the tight ends. It sounds like he's going to be on a snap count. And just don't really want to target any of them. On the Patriots side, the best way to kind of beat Brady is to get pressure on him. I know the Chargers have some good defensive ends, but they haven't gotten too much pressure on the quarterbacks this year, and they don't blitz all that often. So it'll be interesting to see if they dial up some more blitzes in this one. The running backs, Sony Michel is going to be the lead guy. I mean, he's going to probably see, you know, the most touches of anybody, but give me James White. I mean, he was a monster in the playoffs last year. He's obviously the better pass-catching back. He's very good in the red zone. I like White quite a bit in tournaments. And then Edelman's going to be the guy I'd look to in the passing game. I kind of expect the Pats to kind of employ a quick passing game in this one. Going to be one of those 7, 8, 9, 10 catch games for Edelman. No interest in Gronk, and I don't really want to play roulette with any of their other receivers.
Love James White this weekend. I'm glad you brought him up. And I was thinking the exact same thing. The Chargers, we saw them. You know, they got a lot of pressure on Lamar Jackson. And Brady's not going to stand in there long and take any hits. He's going to be looking to dump the ball out as quickly as possible. And we know they trust James White. We know this guy has, you know, in the playoffs really stepped his game up over the last couple seasons. And a fair price on DraftKings, $4,900. You're getting a lot of targets for that. I mean, 16 targets in just the last 3 weeks here. So really love him. One of my favorite plays across the DFS industry. All right, Chop, I see New England sitting at about -4 here. A lot of people on the Chargers in this one. 61% of the bet, 71% of the money on the Chargers. And then the total locked in at about 47, but same story. 57% of the bets on the over, 74% of the money on the over. So Chargers over seems to be where the public is on this one. Where does the Chop Man come out? Chargers and Patriots.
Well, I would say that everything really shapes up well for New England this week when you look at it. Number one, they're at home this year. You mentioned them being really good at home, but they've been so good that they've outscored the opponents at home this year, right around 33-17, give or take fractions of a point there. 33-17 at home. So they've been dominant at home. They get the Chargers, who went way on the East Coast last week. I assume they went back to L.A. and then have to go back to the East Coast again. Those are long plane rides. I mean, the NFL scheduling doesn't even ever make you do that during the regular season. Now they got to do it for the playoffs. That's rough, man. And then you throw in this West Coast team going to New England, and it's going to be right around 20 to 25 degrees. We don't know if there's going to be storms or not, but it's certainly going to be cold and overcast. Like, everything shapes up for New England in this game. But with that being said, I think we're going to get a changing of the guard here, and I think New England's going to get bumped out. So I'm going to take the points here. I'm going to go the Chargers. It's just an instinctual play here, man, because everything shapes up for New England. But I just really think the Chargers don't have any weaknesses on this team. I think they got an exceptional defense. They can beat you a multitude of ways on offense. And I think New England just has – I think they've just lost just a tad bit. Or, you know, they've been a dynasty for so long, but Josh Gordon is gone. Gronk, you know, I read some things about him earlier this week that make a lot of sense as to why he might be struggling so much. And I think that plays out in this game. And I think they have an answer for Gronk. And with no Gordon, I think you're relying on Edelman. And it's been good in the past, but this is some elite competition in the AFC this year. So, you know, they haven't seen, like, this many good teams in the AFC. So, I think I'm going the Chargers here for the upset. Definitely on the points, and that would be my bold call, is that they actually upset New England in New England.
You're comfortable hitting that money line. I'm seeing plus 170 on the Chargers.
Hit it.
There you go. Derek, I didn't even get your bets on the game. So real quick, Colts and Chiefs, you got a lean there?
I'll go Chiefs.
All right, Dallas and L.A.?
I'm going to go Dallas just because I think their fans are going to travel well. Rams have had pretty much no home field advantage this season.
I actually just saw a tweet, and I believe it's showing that it's about 70-30 right now in the seating as far as the Rams go. So apparently everybody decides now they're going to come out and support this team. So we'll see. It's a great point. Dallas fans travel better than almost any other fan base. Not named my Green Bay Packers there, Chop, but – they do get out, and they do travel and follow this team. So, be interesting to see. And then your pick on this game, Chargers and Patriots.
Yeah, I don't have a strong lean on what team's going to win, but I think it's a field goal game, so I will take the points.
All right, let's move to our last game. Nick Foles, BDN, as we call him, continues to get it done here. Got the job done in Chicago. But, Derek, he's got his work cut out for him here. The Saints at home, we know, is one of the best, if not the best, home field advantage in all of football, and it kind of shows in the line here. The Saints, big-time favorites here, sitting at about 8, 8.5 in some spots. Got a nice total here of 50.5. Can Nick Foles possibly do this again? Because he did enough to get the job done. I wouldn't say it was great, but down the stretch, he looked impressive against a very good defense. This is quite a test, so going into New Orleans. Does Philadelphia have any chance in this game?
Yeah, I mean, say what you want about Parkey missing that field goal, but the Bears had a lead in the fourth quarter, and our boy, Big Dick Nick, led him down the field and scored that touchdown. So at this point, I don't think they can win this game, but I'm not going to put anything past him. He's just been on an incredible run in the playoffs the last two seasons. And it's an interesting spot to punt the quarterback position with Foles. They're going to be playing from behind, obviously, in this game. And, you know, we saw him play pretty well against a very good Bears defense. Now he's got a slightly better matchup indoors. I like the price point at 5,400 on DraftKings. So, yeah, I like Foles quite a bit. As far as the running backs go, it was basically a two-man committee last week. We had Smallwood playing 41% of the snaps. Darren Sproles playing 56% of the snaps. I wasn't expecting that. I thought he would be more of a third down type of player, but they gave him a lot of work. He ended up with 13 carries, 3 targets in that game. So I think he's one of the better value plays at running back. We currently have him projected around 5% ownership. I'd be surprised if that ends up being the case, but if it is, I'll be overweight on Sproles. The Saints have been very good against tight ends, so this could be another tough week for Zach Ertz. He was really quiet against the Bears. I only caught 5 for 52. So I think it's going to set up better for the wide receivers. I like Alshon Jeffrey. Foles just trusts him, so he's going to get a lot of targets in this one. And then Golden Tate, it was looking like a terrible trade, but obviously caught that huge touchdown. He's going to have the better cornerback matchup. He'll run most of his routes in the slot. Get to see PJ Williams. So, yeah, I think it's a really good spot for Golden Tate. And, you know, maybe this is just the time for him to shine. On the Saints side, Drew Brees obviously has you know, some pretty big home road splits, 28 fantasy points per game at home this season, 17 on the road. Philly's number 9 against the run, 24th against pass-catching running backs. So I do think this game sets up better for Kamara than Ingram. We know Ingram has had most of his success in blowouts. So, you know, maybe they save Kamara if they get up big. But I like Kamara quite a bit in this one. And then earlier in the season, these two teams squared off. They did double-team Michael Thomas quite a bit. He still caught 4 for 92 and a touchdown. In a game that just matters so much, I just got to think that they're going to pepper him with targets. He's one of my favorite receivers of the week. Even if they do double team him, he's just so good that I think he can win those matchups. Philly's corners have been beaten pretty much all season. So, yeah, give me MT, give me Kamara. I do think Breeze is one of the safer quarterback options of the week. And then if you don't believe in Foles, you know, he is turnover prone. So I do think the Saints defense is firmly in play in this one. They're the biggest favorites of the week. They're playing at home. They're probably going to try to get some pressure on him. So I think their defense is an interesting play.
Yeah, I like that call. Love the Michael Thomas call. I mean, look what Allen Robinson just did to the secondary. I mean, they don't have a way to slow down these stud receivers. And my favorite play on the other side, you mentioned him, Derek. I love me some Darren Sproles in this one. I think they're really going to utilize him, not only on the ground, we saw him get a bunch of carries, but through the air here. And the revenge narrative, going back to New Orleans. So I'll always love the narratives. But I like him with White and Sproles on DraftKings because I think everybody's going to roster 2-3 stud running backs. You go with those two, still mix in a stud running back, it'll give you a different build. So those two guys really stood out to me in my early builds as guys that I'll be attacking on DK. All right, Chop, let's take a look at the Vegas lines here. We got New Orleans sitting at about -8, like we said, -7.5 maybe, down from -10 where it opened, and then the total sitting 50.5 here. So any strong leans in this one, Eagles and Saints?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like the over in this game. Yeah, I want to take New Orleans. It's a lot of points, though, for a playoff game, and there's something about Philadelphia that, I mean, it seems like it's tough to bet against them right now just because they weren't even supposed to get in the playoffs. Somehow they snuck – like, they weren't supposed to win the Super Bowl last year, that's for sure. Then they snuck in the playoffs this year. Now they knock off the Bears in the first round. Like, I don't want to use this team of destiny thing, but, man, they just won't die. So it's tough to bet against them, even though I think New Orleans pounds them. But I'll play it safe and go with the over. Just because a lot of the things you guys mentioned, New Orleans at home, unstoppable, 34 points a game this year. But the defense hasn't – it's been the exact opposite effect for the defense at home. They've actually given up around 25.5 points a game at home, only 18.5 on the road. So they get into these track meets at home is what that tells me. Philadelphia certainly has the firepower and the coaching to get into a track meet here with them. And so I'm going to take the over here in this game, even though I think New Orleans pounds them. I think the safer play is the over.
Yeah, I like the over call. You know, teams that can establish the run and slow the game down, you know, I'd be worried about that if they were playing a Dallas, you know, teams that can take the air out of the ball. Two things we know, Philadelphia, you know, it's been a struggle establishing the run, and New Orleans, that's what they're good at. You want to attack this team through the air. So if you're going to have Philadelphia passing, playing from behind, New Orleans, like you said, is going to probably score 30, 35, potentially 40 points in this one. All we need is a couple touchdowns out of Philadelphia. So feels like the same spot for the Eagles, though, last week. You know, we did a show somewhere along the lines with Big T, and it was a great point where he said, you know, Philadelphia is either going to get blown out or they're going to win the game. You kind of have the same feeling here. Either New Orleans is really going to roll and just put up 40 points, or if this game stays close, there's something going on there with Philadelphia. And I know that's narrative-driven, but you can't ignore how well Nick Foles has played here in the playoffs over the last two seasons. Derek, any leans here on the spread, on the total, Eagles and Saints?
Don't have a feel for the spread. I like all the points you guys mentioned. I kind of expect the Saints to roll in this one, but we could see a backdoor cover. Anytime you get above 7 points, it's a little sketchy. But, yeah, both of these teams very good against the run, so I kind of expect them to air it out. And anytime that happens, I do like the over. So I'll take the over with you guys.
All right, Derek, your favorite spread or total on this entire slate? If there's one thing you're betting the farm on, which game are you hitting?
I'm going to go with the Chargers, +4.
All right, Chop, same question for you. Putting the Kaplan household on the line, which game is it going to be?
Kansas City, going Kansas City. There's a lot of good things in their favor this week. I'm going to roll Kansas City.
All right, and Derek, your favorite DFS play for the weekend?
Favorite off-the-radar play, I'll go James White for 100 yards from scrimmage and a touchdown.
Damn, you stole mine. So I'm going to go with the other little mini running back and Darren Sproles. I think he goes over 100 yards receiving as well in this game. So let's talk some coaching changes. We covered the games here. Let's talk about these big changes that are going on in the NFL and really offensive driven. That's what we're seeing here. So Bruce Arians to Tampa Bay. We got Matt LaFleur going to Green Bay. Freddie Kitchens from wide receiver coach to offensive coordinator to head coach in Cleveland. We did see one defensive coach, Vic Fangio, going out to Denver to take over there. Did I forget anybody?
I think you got most of them that we know about right now.
And Todd Bowles just signed on with Tampa Bay. I know there was some hesitation. He might go to Chicago to join Matt Nagy as a defensive coordinator, but Todd Bowles officially to Tampa Bay to join Bruce Arians. So, guys, what stands out there, you know, from a fantasy perspective? That's what we talk about here. Obviously, we can't look ahead at DFS pricing for 2019, but are there any teams, any players that you see getting a boost? You know, I'm sure there's a lot of season-long dynasty players out there. So, in general, Derek, we'll start with you. Any offenses that get a jump? Any specific players that stand out on any of this news here?
Yeah, so to be honest, I'm so involved in NBA and PGA right now that I'm just first hearing of all of these coaching changes.
You're good, man. That grind down, I know that's a grind down. So, no worries. Yeah,
but Arians in Tampa Bay, I think that's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, Chris Godwin really stood out to me there as a guy that can kind of spread his wings. What do we know about Arians? He's going to be very aggressive, you know, throwing the ball downfield. Jameis Winston, you know, has the arm to get that done. So, and Evans, Godwin, we'll see if DeSean Jackson stays around. But I really think good things for that offense. Chop Cliff Kingsbury, that's the guy I forgot in Arizona. And that's a similar kind of, you know, guy that's going to be more offensive driven. Does that unlock some David Johnson? Do we get our David Johnson back, Chop?
Yeah, we're for sure going to get David Johnson back. He's not just – that air raid is nice, but what it also does is it creates a lot of space for your running back. I saw a lot of running backs prosper in Texas Tech over the years. So it's going to be good for Johnson. It's going to be great for Christian Kirk, I think, would be my sleeper. And then by the time next year rolls around, everybody will be on probably Kirk or maybe another Arizona receiver, but I think it's Christian Kirk. My question, I like it from a DFS perspective and it's fun, but man, my question to the Cardinals is, there's a lot of good, young, offensive-minded coaches either in college as a head coach or they're offensive coordinators right now. Man, couldn't you find one that has a winning record? Like, no offense to Kingsbury, and I don't want to hear all this garbage about recruiting and all that. It doesn't matter. It does matter, man. If you couldn't assemble a winning record as a college head coach in that environment, I don't think you're going to be great for us in DFS, but I don't think you're going to be super successful as a NFL head coach if you're just not. I think Cliff Kingsbury would be a phenomenal offensive coordinator. I don't think he's going to make a good head coach, except for the same reasons he wasn't a good head coach in college and he just got fired. So, but it's going to be great for DFS purposes.
Yeah, I mean, it almost feels like, and we've asked for this, like, let's get some guys some new chances. Let's get some young guys in here. That aspect I love about it. On the other end, it feels like every team is trying to find the next Sean McVay. Let's find a young guy that knows offense, going to put points on the board. You know, and we're seeing that. Kingsbury, how do you go from fired, then you're the offensive coordinator for USC, which has not been a good job in years, and all of a sudden you're an NFL head coach, Chop. I agree with you 100%. Matt LaFleur. Yeah, you worked under Sean McVay. You went to Tennessee as their offensive coordinator. We all had big hopes for the Titans. That offense was not very good outside of maybe one big game out of Derrick Henry. That offense left a lot to be desired here. So as a Packer fan, LaFleur, I'm intrigued because it is a young mind. You know, maybe we get a couple good years out of Aaron Rodgers. Doesn't have many years left. But, you know, at the same time, it just feels a little bit desperate. Trying to find that next Sean McVay, Chop. Do you get that feeling? Am I wrong here? What are your thoughts overall on all these coaching changes?
Yeah, that's exactly scream of a little desperation. I don't know. Maybe they know something we don't, but I don't see it. Overall, though, I like these changes, like the Arians to Tampa Bay, good, yes, offensive upgrade for those guys. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of good LaFleur taking over from McCarthy's. Obviously, you can't help but to be an upgrade there.
Oh, I'm happy about it. I mean, I'll give them a chance for sure. It just, like I said, it just feels like everybody's trying to get cute. But I'd rather that than we have Jeff Fisher and Caldwell and guys like that.
That is the number one thing. At least they're breaking out of the cocoon, man, exactly. And you don't have the same old retreads. And so that's definitely an A-plus on that. I just – maybe if they spent a little bit more time and analyzed some of these other coaches out there, they'd find guys that were just innovative, young, had all this desire to, you know, all these good things, and they actually won. They actually showed they were good head coaches at the place where they were. But let's go with it. I'm ready for it, man. I'm already ready for next year.
I'm ready, too. Like I said, the cocoon, you know, let's get out of the old good old boys club. I think offense is only going to continue to evolve, and the scoring's going to continue to go up, and obviously – as fantasy players, that's what we want to see. We want to see some offense. I'm not against a good defensive game, but, you know, give me the Rams and Chiefs any day before I got to watch that Ravens and Chargers game again. Because that baby, whew, the eyeballs are still hurting on that one. All right, guys, that only wraps us up for the divisional round. That's going to wrap us up for the season. Next weekend, you know, like we said, there's only a couple games probably showed on slates for the championship slate. So no need for a DFS OG's podcast next week. Guys, any final thoughts for the people on this week, on the season? I just want to say thank you to you two. Love doing this show every week. Learn something new every week. And hopefully the people out there profited, learned something. If not, at least you enjoyed the show. Hopefully we entertained you guys throughout the season. So thank you to you two. Thank you to everybody that listens out there. We appreciate you guys tuning in. Guys, final thoughts from you guys. Derek, the floor is yours.
Yeah, huge thanks to the listeners all season, and it's always fun doing the show with you too. Hoping to see you guys for the Super Bowl party out there in Nashville. But before we go, let's get some Super Bowl picks.
Oh, I like it. All right, Chop, you got any Super Bowl leans here?
Yeah, I mean, I've said it for a while now. It seems like it's going to be New Orleans over Kansas City.
I also like New Orleans. I don't know who's going to go in there and beat them. That's my lean there, and I put a bet on the Colts to win a while back, so I'm going to stick with that. You know, I know we talked about the Chiefs, and I'm leaning back that way. I'm going back and forth in that game, but I'm going to go off the board here and say Saints and Colts. Derek.
All right. I was going to say the same as Chop, New Orleans over Kansas City, but I'll say New Orleans over the Chargers.
That'd be a good one. The beauty is, to me, I'm sick of New England being there. Outside of that, if anybody else is in that game, I think I'll be good with it.
Now watch the Colts pull the upset and Taylor make this whole thing for New England to get another playoff game at home and then get back in the Super Bowl. That'd be terrible, but that's never know.
You're hurting me now, Chop. I would feel bad if that happened. So, Chop, any final thoughts for the people here to wrap up the 2018 season here of the DFS OGs podcast?
I mean, what is it, 19 weeks we did this? It was fun. When it was all said and done, it's not about week by week. It's about at the end, how did you do? And at the end of this season, I'm going to look back after the 19 weeks, and it was a successful year. And I hope you guys got something out of it. Is this first thoughts? We shoot this thing early in the week. So just like piecing together a good GPP lineup, you get your player pool together, and sometimes you just need a little luck. You just need to have that roster. You have all the guys in your player pool, but you just got to have the right guys on that one roster. Well, you just take little bits and pieces of maybe something we say, combine it with what you read from Evan Silva and what you hear on the grind down, NFL first look or something like that. You piece everything together, and you hope that's the week it comes through. So I hope we got you something this week. I hope you got something out of it, and it's going to be a fun weekend this weekend, and can't wait for next year already, man. Looking forward to it.
Absolutely. So good luck to everybody out there this weekend. You ever have any questions, we're all available on Twitter at @RG_Notorious, at @HeadChopper, and I am at @BeerMakersFan. So for my boys, my fellow OGs, and Derek, I will be in Nashville, buddy. We got to get Chop out there. We can't have 2/3 of the OGs. So Chop, talk to the wife. My wife's coming. Let's have a little reunion out in Nashville. That's your job here. But for my boys, Derek Farnsworth, a.k.a. Notorious, make sure you check out his grind out every day. Invaluable content for football, for basketball, every sport. The guy is just grinding. Or the great Head Chopper and all the premium shows he does with Big T. Make sure you're checking out those lineup builder shows. I am Beer saying salut. Best of luck this weekend, guys. And we're out of here.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.